I really enjoy church signs, the signs outside of church, not necessarily that tell you what's going on in the church, although they're lovely too, but the pithy sayings outside of church that give you kind of food for thought, and sometimes perhaps for a different reason than was intended. So I was driving through Kennett this week when I saw this sign: "The Bible hasn't changed. Have you?" The Bible hasn't changed. Have you? And it was clear to me that the poster of the sign probably intended this: the Bible is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and perhaps you should be too. But as I was driving down the road, I was praying about our church-wide hope for folks to get engaged with disciple Bible study, an opportunity to kind of dive deep and be changed by God's word, I started thinking about this. Reading the Bible ought to change you, and I'm hoping that it does. I'm hoping you're not the same person that you were 2 years ago or 20 years ago or 35 years ago. I'm hoping that the Bible expands your understanding and raises for you some different questions and some curiosities. I'm hoping that you dig a little bit deeper, that it's a well of knowledge for you and wisdom, and that you live your life in a way that you found from those scriptures. So I got it working on me: the Bible hasn't changed. Have you? As we continue our series this week about half-truths, did I hear you correctly? The one we're looking at this week: God helps those who help themselves. We're going to take a look at the one that we're pretty sure must be somewhere in the scriptures if we could just figure out what book it's in. Anybody know? And then find where God's stronger hope is for us. On Saturday, we send out a sneak a peek email. And I shared with us in that email that 82% of people, Gallup found out, believe that God helps those who help themselves must be somewhere in the Bible. And I suggested in that email that it's probably in the book of Hezekiah. Does anybody know where the book of Hezekiah is? I'm hoping you say you couldn't find it, because it's not in the Bible. In fact, Hezekiah is not a biblical book at all. Hezekiah is indeed a king of Judah who did right in the eyes of God. Indeed, it's in Hezekiah if you want to look him up, and I'm hoping you got a little curious and you'll go ahead and look up who I'm referring to. You can go find out where he is. Look in Ezekiel, perhaps. No, don't look there. You find out. But God helps those who help themselves is not biblical. Indeed, people thought it might be one of the Ten Commandments. If you remember Jay Leno, he had what was called jaywalking, if you remember that. And he went out and asked people what some of the Ten Commandments were. And 8 out of 10 people he asked said that God helps those who help themselves was one of the 10 Commandments. So where does this come from? Why do we so deeply as a society think that this is important? Largely, we can thank Benjamin Franklin and Poor Richard's Almanac in 1736 for cementing this concept so deeply in our Western understanding. And there's some scholars who also reach back a little further into Greek mythology. But this is about a one-third truth, and not even a half-truth. In fact, it's opposition into what we understand about our God as a God of compassion and a God of mercy. The partial truth that comes from the way we participate with God in blessing. Let me have you think for a moment about mealtime and the way in which we offer blessing, perhaps, over when we're eating together. I'm going to stretch your brain a little bit. Maybe some of you are familiar with an older movie, 1965 movie of Shenandoah. If not, I'll help you a little bit. There's a scene with Jimmy Stewart sitting around a table giving thanks. He's made a promise to his wife, and he's going to teach his children how to be faithful Christians. And so he offers this kind of blessing. I wonder if sometimes our blessings sound a little bit like this. Lord, we've cleared the land, and we've plowed it. We've sowed it, and we've harvested it. We cooked the harvest ourselves, and it wouldn't have been here if we wouldn't be eating it if we didn't do it all ourselves. We worked dog bone hard for every crumb and every morsel. But we thank you just the same, Lord, for all the food that we're about to eat. Now, I'm not saying that all of our prayers sound like that. In fact, often we're thanking God for a capacity to earn what it is that we have, and we're thanking God for what we have, our buying groceries and the preparation of our food and the hands that have touched it and the planet that sustains us. In fact, our prayers and our work come together. Our Benedictine brothers and sisters use it this way. They say ora and labora, that is to say prayer and work. And this has a strong foundation in working with God, in God's way of solution. Trusting in Jesus doesn't mean pray and God will magically take care of everything. It's the magic wand theology. Our faith is meant to move us into action, even when we trust in God. Part of God's work is through us, even when we pray and work. The God helps those who help themselves has just that little small basis in Scripture. So let me explain a little bit further the true heart of God caring for those who cannot help themselves. It might be hard for us to hear, but there are times when we say this as a way to not help others. There are those who cannot pull themselves up by their proverbial bootstraps. The holes are too deep to climb out of without help. This Lent, there were 7 of us from West Grove who joined many participants from the larger community here in a poverty simulation, and we were given identities complete with names and families, ages and jobs, and told that we had to navigate the resources of this area for a simulated month. This was a simulation of what it would be like to live in poverty. Even though I, in this simulation, was someone with an income, at the end of this simulated month, I was homeless, evicted, even with the assistance of others. This was a simulation for 7 people here in this congregation, but a reality for many of the people here in this area. God calls us to help those who cannot help themselves or requires our help before they can help themselves. And this is where the preponderance of Scripture lies. In my distress, I called out to the Lord, says the psalmist, over and over again. And God heard me. God hears the cry of those in need by using those around them. It was a Levitical command to leave part of the field unharvested for the poor and for the immigrant to glean from the harvest, to have dignity about the way they were cared for. Throughout the Old and New Testament, we're called to compassion and mercy for those who aren't able to help themselves. Here at Westgrove, we're blessed by an emergency aid fund. So often the families, our families here and in our community have said, the way in which you're caring for me is how God has heard me. While receiving assistance on rental or utility or other needs, our neighbors know that God loves them through the presence of someone walking alongside them. We've recently developed an emergency assistance team that can support our neighbors and really walk alongside them, showing compassion and mercy, the real character of God. You know, there are times when we can help ourselves, and we should pray and work. And other times when people cannot make it without the connection and the support of others. It's here when God prompts us to help one another, when we become the answers to others' prayers, the hands, the feet of God, the instruments of grace. I lift up my eyes. Where does my help come from? My help comes from you, O God, maker of heaven and earth. Psalm 121 was an ascent psalm as the people were going up to the temple, a reminder that God would be with them as they went up to worship God. You and I find, if we haven't already, there are times when we cannot help ourselves, when we don't have the strength or the knowledge or the resources. And there are even times when we think we might be responsible for the situation that we are in. In those moments, we cry out to God. God, the only one who can help us. And each and every time, God says, I will never leave you. I am here. Your life has meaning. There is nothing you can do or have done to separate yourself from me. That is grace, and grace abundantly. Thanks be to the God who helps us as we work and as we pray. And thanks be to the God who helps us when we, like all of us, cannot help ourselves. My friends, this is the good news. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.